we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family and your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on relationships, particularly marriages. We've been focusing on the marriages this semester here. And we've been listening to Jimmy Evans. And today he's talking about raising great children as you build a great marriage. So get close to your radio and listen.
Raising Great Children as You Build a Great Marriage by Jimmy Evans.
Raising great children as you build a great marriage. We're going to talk about three principles, very simple principles that are very profound. And I promise if you do these principles, because everybody can do it, it's a very simple thing. These three principles will cause you to succeed. And when couples do not succeed in being married successfully and raising great kids, it's because somewhere along the line, these principles were forsaken. So principle number one of the three, marriage precedes children in priority. Now, you know, I know that you believe that, but let me tell you about something that's real common. And again, this is innocent and it's right in some ways, but sometimes, you'll hear people say, nothing is as important to me as my children. There was a program on one day, it was on television, it was a talk show, and they had mothers behind the scenes, and they didn't know that their husbands were watching from the other room, okay? So there were the husbands in one room, the wives in the other room, and they were talking about their children. And these women were going around the room and they were saying, nothing is as important to me as my children. And it sounds great. I mean, it sounds like a good, wholesome American thing to say. Well, what they didn't know is their husbands were in the other room talking about how frustrated and violated they were that they didn't get enough of their wives because they were always busy mothering their children. These husbands were bitter and frustrated and angry, and the mothers were saying, nothing is important to me as my children. Well, fathers can do the same thing. So I'm not picking on women. I'm saying, if you in your heart or in your mind think nothing is as important to me as my children, you're wrong. There are two things more important than your children. The first is God, and the second is your marriage. Those two things are more important than your children. And then once those things are set, then your children are the third most important thing in your life. And let me talk about why this is such an important principle. And the first is marriage only operates properly when it's first. This is an inviolable law of marriage. Marriage comes first, and no one is the exception. Marriage will not work if you don't put it first. The second reason that this principle is so important is that our relationship with God and our spouse is what enables us to be good parents. Now, if you've ever been on an airplane and they make this announcement, it kind of sounds like a morbid announcement when they're making it, but it's a very important announcement. And they say, you know, if you see the oxygen mask come down, if the plane depressurizes and you see the oxygen mask come down, put the mask on yourself while your child is gasping and turning blue, and then put the mask on your child. Well, you know, I'm a pilot, and so I fly. When you're at 35,000 feet, 40,000 feet, and a plane depressurizes, you've got seconds until you black out. I'm talking about seconds. And so when you're up at that altitude and those bags come down, what they understand is dead parents are no good to kids. You better put that mask on yourself. And then you'll be able, because you're able to breathe and you've only got seconds to spare, then you'll be of assistance to your child. But when you're sitting there helping your child first and you pass out in the process, you got big trouble. Okay, your relationship with God and your marriage is what makes you into a great parent. When you wake up every day and you have a relationship with God, God heals you, God fills you, God loves you, God gives you wisdom, God gives you strength, God solves problems that nobody else can solve. God enables us to be parents. Galatians 5 tells us about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the 9 relational qualities that make you a great spouse and a great parent, and they come free from God. But we don't have them on our own. We have a very shallow veneer in and of ourselves. But with God's, it's amazing how petty we can be under pressure as people so quickly. But under the power of the Holy Spirit, it is amazing how godly we can be under pressure. It makes all the difference in the world. When I wake up in the morning and I pray and I depend on God, it is amazing what I can do that day because I depended on God as a husband and as a father. But when I don't wake up and depend on God, it is amazing how carnal I can be. It is amazing the things that I can say and do that disappoint me in myself. And so, A, I've got to have God. And B, I need my spouse. My marriage meets needs in me that God and my marriage meet, 95% of the needs in my life. So as a happy person, because I know God, and then because of a happy man, because I know Karen, and we have a great marriage, I'm ready to parent. I'm not overly needy. I've got my needs met. I've got my priorities right. And my children's security comes from that. When your children see you happy, they're happy. When your children see you secure, they're secure. Research finds, children internalize issues. And research finds that if parents are fighting and never say anything, that children can pick up on the tension and their relationship, and they will internalize that and begin to get sick. Even if you're not fighting in front of them, if you're not happy in your relationship, if you're struggling in your relationship, I'm talking about long term because we all have issues from time to time, but if you're struggling in your relationship, your children's security comes from you being secure. You can't be secure in your children. You're secure from God in your marriage, especially God. And so marriage comes before children. God comes before children, and then our children are precious, and they deserve the best of us except for God and our spouse. And raising children is a temporary task, and I just want you to see the big picture. Children are temporary. And when you have those children in your home for 18 or 19 years, and in the process, you violate your marriage, or you violate your relationship with God because of those children. Hey, you've done them no favors whatsoever. Listen, how can your children succeed unless they see you succeed? See, we showed them a successful relationship. Let me say this another way, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying, and this might sound arrogant, but it's not arrogant. You need to make this statement. I want my children to be just like me. If you don't want your children to be just like you, you don't understand parenting because it's more caught than taught. Your life speaks louder than your lips. They are studying your priorities. They're studying your attitudes. They're studying the way you resolve conflict. They're studying your values. They're studying your relationship with God and your beliefs in God. They're studying not just what you're saying now. They're studying the way you're living your life. And so here's what I said, Karen and I said, related to us. I want my children to be just like me. I want them to have a church just like me. I want them to have a relationship with the Lord just like me. I want them to have a marriage just like me, whatever. But actually, my kids are better than us. Our kids are better than us. I mean, our kids have taken it to the next level. I am so proud of them. They're better parents than we were. And I'm saying, do you want your children to be just like you? Because the way that I'm living my life is empowering them for success, or it's confusing them and giving them something that they're going to have to overcome later in life. And so before parenting, I need a relationship with God that is a humble, dependent relationship with God that I'm allowing Him to work in my life. Because every time God does something in my life, it betters my children. And they're going to find their security in that. And they're going to be blessed by that. God comes first, then my marriage, then my children. Number two principle is unity is essential. You have to be unified. Jesus said, a house divided against itself can't stand. If you're divided against yourself, your house can't stand. And so in parenting, you always present a united front. These are four practices of unity. I'm talking about unity now. Let me just give you 4 points here. Number one, always present a united front to your children and never let your children divide you. When you're a parent, we're a two-headed monster. And you'll never deal with one head. We're two-headed, okay? So they come up and they say, can I go to the movies with my friends? Let me talk to your mother. She won't mind. She said yes. I want to hear it from her lips. Why? Because you lie. And so I'm going to hear it from her. And not in front of you either. Okay. Now, if it's a simple decision, that's fine. But what Karen and I would do is go in our room by ourselves with our children. Typically, we're in bed, and we would sit down, and sometimes we would argue. Because Julie has my personality, Brent has Karen's personality. And so it was easy for me to understand Julie. It was very challenging for Karen to understand Julie at times. It was easy for Karen to understand Brent. It was hard for me to understand Brent, okay? And so we would sit down and talk, and we would represent the kids to each other, always knowing that our marriage was more important than our children. But sometimes we would have to sit there and talk to each other, and I'd say, Karen, you don't understand what Julie's saying. And she said, I know exactly what she's saying. I'm a woman, you're not, I know exactly. I said, no, you don't, like this. So we would sit there and we'd have those conversations. And at the end of the conversation, we would say, this is what we're gonna do, right? Okay, we would walk out. They didn't know anything about the conversation. The only thing they knew is mom and dad was a two-headed monster. You're gonna get both of us and we're both saying exactly the same thing, not this. Well, I'd let you go, but your mother won't. You know, well, what does that say to kids? You know, you're divided at that point. A house divided against itself cannot stand. We are unified on everything that we do. Number two, always honor each other in front of your children and make your children honor your spouse. You never disrespect each other in front of your children. So if our kids, like I'm sitting there, you know, in the living room, and I would hear Julie or Brent disrespect Karen, I never made Karen defend herself. I said, I don't know, you don't talk to your mother that way. Unity means what you do to her, you did to me. Division means you can pick on them all day long and I'm just going to sit here and watch it. I'm just a spectator. When I heard a tone in their voice, anything like that, I would get up and I'd walk in there and say, you don't talk to your mother that way, you apologize to your mother like that. And they knew, you pick a fight with her, you got to fight with dad. And the same was true of Karen. And so always honor your, if you have something to say, you say it behind closed doors, but don't put each other down. When your kids are around, don't be sarcastic, don't be demeaning. And if your children, because if you do, the kids will pick up on that. And they're gonna do the same thing. So always honor each other. Number three, never allow a significant difference to develop in how you express love or enforce discipline. Now, this is the good cop, bad cop thing. And this comes into extremes. Your children need both of you to be affectionate with them. And your children need both of you to discipline them. Sometimes a man at a certain age has to be the one that enforces the discipline, okay? Just simply for size or whatever it is. But you both are empowered to discipline and you both support each other in discipline. But the horrible thing is, see, when one parent is a goof off, the other parent has to become more stern in order to bring a balance in a family. When one spouse is out of control, the other spouse will go the opposite extreme to gain control. If you're a spendthrift, I'm gonna rat hole money. But we're not unified, okay? If you're a goof off and you're too fun and you're too permissive with the kids, then I'm going to have to be more stern and be the disciplinarian. And what happens is, because now I'm the disciplinarian, I'm not able to show the affection. You've robbed me of the ability to show the affection that I would show, because now I've got to be the disciplinarian. Come together and make this commitment. Children need affection from their mother and father. You don't make the woman the affectionate person, or the man the affectionate person. Say, well, you're sweeter than me and you're more affectionate natural than me. You give kids the affection. Their sexual and emotional development is very, very tied to the affection and attention they get from both sexes. Both sexes. So they both need you to affirm them verbally and be affectionate. And they both need you to express discipline, both in healthy ways as a united front. Don't get into the good cop, bad cop thing. They need two parents loving each other and getting along. Number four, go outside of your marriage for counseling and input when you reach an impasse. Go outside your marriage. Your kids sometimes can push you to the wall, you know, and I mean, you're just not objective. So Karen and I were committed to every principle I'm talking to right now. We got to a circumstance we couldn't solve and we couldn't talk it out. And it went on for a while. And we had a disagreement about one of our kids. And our kids were great kids. But, you know, the kids challenge you. And we had a circumstance that came up that I had an opinion on and she had an opinion on. And it happened every day. It wasn't like one of those things that comes up every 6 months. It was everyday event within our family. And so we were challenged on this. So I was a pastor. And I told Karen one day, I said, pick who you want to go to and we'll go to them and I'll submit to whatever they say. And she said, well, who do you feel comfortable with? So we talked about who we felt comfortable with, and it was a pastor. And it was a woman. And so we walked into this woman's office that we both respected, and here's what I said. Now, we're not here just to get your advice. We're here to submit to your counsel. We have an impasse in our family, and there's something going on with one of our children that we cannot solve. So we're not going to argue with you. We're going to tell you what's happening. And whatever you say is going to be God's voice to us. We've already decided that. Okay. So she said, well, tell me what's happening. So Karen gave her side and I gave my side. And she said, Jimmy, you're wrong. Okay. Now this has been 25 years ago. I was wrong. Karen was right. Karen contended with me on that issue. But I couldn't see it. I was too emotionally involved, and I was strongly opinionated, and I just couldn't see it. Let me say, thank God for that woman that counseled us. Thank God. And thank God that I walked in there, submitted, and not arguing, because she took Karen's side. But it wasn't Karen's side, it was God's side, because Karen was right. So when you reach an impasse, don't let it destroy your marriage. Don't let it take you out. Everybody comes to those points. Everyone's going to come to times in your marriage and as parents, you can't solve the problem on your own. And here's what we taught our children. Getting help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. Wise people get help. Rich people have financial counselors all around them. People going broke won't even read a book on money. People who are successful parents are in seminars just like this. But people whose kids are falling apart and they don't have any help, they won't take any advice. So you have a teachable spirit. You get help. And it's just part of the mindset of success. There's one other thing, real quickly. This is the third principle. Marriage precedes the priority of children, which is very critical. Okay? And so unity is essential. We have to be a united front. Doesn't mean we don't disagree, but we don't disagree in front of the kids. We're a team here. Number three, parenting takes faith. It takes faith. You've got to be faith-filled to parent, especially in the days that we're living in. Now, listen to Scripture. I know you've heard this before, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, train him up. Now, training doesn't mean talking. Training means showing. It includes telling, but it means living in front of. I'm going to train you how to sit there and watch me. I'm going to train you how to do this. That's training. Sit there and watch me. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to talk to you, but I'm going to show you how to do it. Okay. Talking is teaching. It's not training. Train your children up. Show them how to live successfully. And when they become mature, they'll return to what you showed them. That mean you won't have challenges, and it doesn't mean there won't be some difficult moments in the meantime, but if you train them up, you have to have faith that if you do the right thing in front of them, they'll return to that one day.
All right, that was Pastor Jimmy Evans there, and he was talking about parenting, raising godly children. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.